Dummies.
Today, the votes are in on a major airline merger.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. We will learn the results today of a shareholder vote on the proposed merger of United and Continental Airlines. This vote is one of the last steps of the deal. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us live from Washington. Morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
This is a huge merger. This would create the world's biggest airline. How would it affect passengers?
Yeah, you have to wonder that. Well, Continental and United say, look, their passengers won't notice much of a difference. The airlines will continue operating separately for a whole year after the merger, and that's because they'll have to wait for permission from the FAA to combine their fleets. But passengers might find it harder to get those really low-priced seats. The two airlines are going to try to be very efficient and make sure every flight is full so they don't have to discount their seats.
Aha, so can we expect higher fares?
Well, not necessarily. I talked to an airline analyst named Daryl Jenkins about this, and he says, look, in this economy, nobody is hiking fares.
Well, you cannot just simply raise fares willy-nilly without any consequence. If we're in a steep decline in the economy, it's almost impossible to raise fares.
Now, some consumer groups disagree with that, and they've actually filed a lawsuit in federal court in San Francisco against the merger. They say it would result in higher fares and fewer flights. The judge in that case is scheduled to hear closing arguments later today. But keep in mind, Bill, the Justice Department has already approved this merger. So even if the consumers win, there's really not much they can do to stop the deal. Jenkins says maybe they would be able to win damages.
Okay, Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you.
You're welcome.
Fashion designers, models, clothing buyers, all descending on London today for the start of London's Fashion Week. Organizers say it is a big moneymaker, even in a down economy. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more from London.
Mention the subject haute couture, and one doesn't think immediately of the Brits. Paris, Milan, and New York do seem to be in a higher league, but the UK fashion industry is not down at heel. Its high-profile designers have attracted a global following, names like Vivienne Westwood and Paul Smith. The whole business is doing well, says Harold Tilman, head of the British Fashion Council, and that's in spite of the economic downturn.
Clothes wear out, people get bored, they want new things. You've got spring, summer, and autumn, winter. It's not like something that's being produced that is the same as it was last year. So we have more of an opportunity of creating consumer interest.
The council has commissioned a report on the British fashion industry, which is published today. It concludes that it's the UK's 15th largest, worth more than $30 billion a year. But that figure involves a certain amount of window dressing. It includes the sale of all clothing, even imports designed and made abroad. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher today in Asia and Europe. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials added 22 points, 0.2%, to end up at 10,594. Stock futures are pointing upward today after strong profit reports from Research in Motion, the maker of the BlackBerry, and the software giant Oracle. The healthcare behemoth Johnson & Johnson says it's looking to buy a Dutch vaccine maker called Crucell. Crucell just got a government grant from the U.S. last year to develop a universal treatment for the flu, including strains that are resistant to Tamiflu. Johnson & Johnson is already into biotech, along with, of course, baby shampoo and contact lenses and contraceptives. But J&J is new to the vaccine market.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com. By the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
Consumer and environmental groups will be watching the Food and Drug Administration this weekend. The FDA will begin meetings that could lead to the first ever approval of a genetically modified animal. From Oregon Public Broadcasting, Rob Manning reports on this experimental fish.
A company called Aqua Bounty wants to grow Atlantic salmon faster and bigger. They plan to do that by injecting genes into Atlantic salmon eggs from king salmon and a fish called an eel pout. Former Aqua Bounty consultant Val Giddings says the hybrid fish is cheaper to raise.
Cutting time to the market in half and reducing feed requirements by 10% to 20%, you know, those are significant gains that don't require further explanation.
But environmental groups worry the fish would wreak havoc with the West Coast's dwindling salmon populations. Giddings says the GMO salmon would be kept away from the wild population in closed pens. Fisheries economist Astrid Schultz with Oregon-based EcoTrust says fish have escaped from farms in the past. She says scientists commissioned by the FDA singled out GMO salmon as a species to be concerned about.
Their genes that are engineered to accelerate growth could compete more successfully for both food and mates than wild salmon.
More broadly, environmentalists say that going from engineering crops to modifying animals raises big ethical questions. At the very least, environmental and consumer groups want labels on GMO fish. But industry consultant Val Giddings says the fish doesn't need a label because it's safe to eat.
It's very easy to make an emotionally appealing argument. Consumers have a right to know. Consumers have a right to not be misled and have false fears raised.
Giddings and Schultz agree that the FDA will likely approve modified salmon, but officials say it's at least 18 months before they'll get to market. In Portland, I'm Rob Manning for Marketplace.
And finally, here's the week's business news in a Marketplace Minute. Airlines are merging. Helter Skelter. Northwest got bought out by Delta. America West and U.S. Air and TWA is no longer there. Today, it just might be decided. Will Continental fly United? Soon, there'll be just one airline around, and they'll charge you a fee if you want to sit down. Extend the tax cuts? Yes, but which? Everybody? Just the rich? Tea partiers say cut them all, but they might cut the GOP this fall. Healthcare opponents are showing endurance. You can't make me buy insurance. Honk if you're into Basel III, and I'll see you at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.